Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 3rd of December 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll hear how engineers are building a supercomputer that will fit into a single chip, and how scientists have discovered an entirely new type of matter. In this week's interview, Azo Nano's David Fruin talks with David Haynes from STS about the future of nanotechnology and fears some people have about the use of nanotechnology. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Supercomputers that consist of thousands of individual processor brains connected by miles of copper wires could one day fit into a laptop PC, thanks in part to a breakthrough by IBM scientists announced this week. And while today's supercomputers can use the equivalent energy required to power hundreds of homes, these future tiny supercomputers on a chip would expend the energy of a light bulb. The breakthrough, known in the industry as silicon Mach-Zehnder electro-optic modulator, performs the function of converting electrical signals into pulses of light. The IBM modulator is 100 to 1,000 times smaller in size compared to previously demonstrated modulators of its kind, paving the way for many such devices and eventually complete optical routing networks to be integrated onto a single chip. This could significantly reduce cost, energy, and heat, while increasing communications bandwidth between the cores more than 100 times over wired chips. It's a case of all light and no heat. A new study reports that a laser can be used to switch a film of vanadium dioxide back and forth between reflective and transparent states without heating or cooling it. It's one of the first cases that scientists have found where light can directly produce such a physical transition without changing the material's temperature. It's also among the most recent examples of coherent control, the use of coherent radiation, like laser light, to affect the behavior of atomic, molecular, or electronic systems. The technique has been used to control photosynthesis and is being used in efforts to create quantum computers and other novel electronic and optical devices. The new discovery opens the possibility of a new generation of ultra-fast optical switches for communications. What appear under an atomic force microscope to be tiny rings with little bits missing are actually nanoscopic rings made of double-stranded DNA with a little gap in the form of a short, single-stranded fragment. According to researchers at the University of Bonn, this gap is a place to attach other molecules that have the potential to transform the rings into versatile nanocomposites for various applications. The programmable aggregation of molecular building blocks into structures with higher order plays a key role in the construction of nanomaterials. Nucleic acids are interesting building block candidates, being easy to synthesize and exhibiting unique molecular recognition characteristics. The difficulty lies in the fact that the construction of defined two or three dimensional geometries requires rigid building blocks. However, DNA molecules are normally flexible structures. Seeing proteins in their natural environment and interactions inside cells has been a long-standing goal. Using an advanced microscopy technique called cryo-electron tomography, researchers from the European Molecular Biology Laboratory have visualized proteins responsible for cell-cell contacts for the first time. This week, they published the first three-dimensional image of human skin at molecular resolution and revealed the molecular Velcro-like organization that interlinks cells. The new insights broaden the understanding of structural aspects of cell adhesion and shed light on other crucial processes such as cell proliferation. The technical advances achieved in cryo-electron tomography of frozen sections open up new possibilities to study more systems at native conditions with molecular resolution. Physicists at the University of Alberta have made a major advance in the understanding of what appears to be a new state of matter. Working in the highly specialized field of quantum fluids and solids, the researchers in Canada are conducting experimental research in this area of fundamental physics. In 2004, a research team at Penn State University in the United States, led by Dr. Moses Chan, electrified the physics world when it announced that it may have discovered an entirely new state of matter, supersolidity. Now researchers have taken this research in a different direction. In an experiment not done before, they cooled solid helium and manipulated the material another way, by shearing it elastically. In doing so, they found that the solid behaved in an entirely new and unexpected way. It became much stiffer at the lowest temperatures. Other physicists around the world are also studying the implications. Through this discovery, the researchers have significantly added to the body of knowledge about the fundamental states of matter allowed by nature. Research on hydrogen-fueled cars may be one step closer to application thanks to a new form of hydride discovered by scientists at the ESRF. The material, lithium borohydride, is a promising energy storage system. It contains 18 weight percents of hydrogen, which makes it attractive for use in hydrogen-fueled cars. Its drawback is that it only releases hydrogen at quite high temperatures above 300 degrees Celsius. The team has found a new form of the compound that could possibly release hydrogen in mild conditions. This discovery was completely unexpected from the point of view of theoretical predictions. American Elements announced today the development of a novel new process for the large-scale production of surface functionalized nanoparticles, allowing for their use in a greater number of commercial applications. Surface functionalized nanomaterials have controlled surface chemistries which enhance the adhesion or the dispersion properties of the nanopowder in polymers, plastics, and coatings for improved magnetic, fluorescent, dielectric, and catalytic characteristics. Surface functionalized nanoparticles have particular applications in LEDs, drug delivery systems, sensors, and electronics. The next generation of laptops, desk computers, cell phones, and other semiconductor devices may get faster and more cost-effective with research from Clemson University. The heart of many high-tech devices is the microprocessor that performs the logic functions. These devices produce heat depending on the speed at which the microprocessor operates. High-speed microprocessors generate more heat than lower-speed ones. Presently, dual-core or quad-core microprocessors are packaged as a single product in laptops so that heat is reduced without compromising overall speed of the computing system. The problem, according to researchers, is that wiring software for these multi-core processors, along with making them profitable, remains a challenge. New processor equipment improve the performance of the materials produced, resulting in less power loss through leakage. Based on work at Clemson, microprocessors can operate faster and cooler. In the future, it will be possible to use a smaller number of microprocessors in a single chip, since the researchers have increased the speed of the individual microprocessors. At the same time, they've reduced power loss sixfold to a level never seen before. Engineers from Harvard University have demonstrated a highly versatile, compact and portable quantum cascade laser sensor for the fast detection of a large number of chemicals, ranging from infinitesimal traces of gases to liquids by broad tuning of the emission wavelength. The potential range of applications is huge, including homeland security, medical diagnostics such as breath analysis, pollution monitoring and environmental sensing of the greenhouse gases responsible for global warming. The broad emission spectrum of the quantum cascade laser material, grown by a commercial reactor used for the mass production of semiconductor lasers, is designed using state-of-the-art nanotechnology by controlling the size of the nanometric thin quantum wells in the active region. An array of 32 lasers, each designed to emit at a specific wavelength, is then fabricated on a single chip by standard semiconductor processing techniques to have a size of less than 1/4 of a dime. A microcomputer individually fires up and tunes each laser in the array in any desired sequence. This generates a broad and continuously tunable wavelength spectrum that can be then used to detect a large number of chemical compounds. In this week's Azo Nano News interview, David Fruin speaks with David Haynes from STS about the work STS is currently doing. STS is a supplier of plasma etch and deposition equipment, predominantly to the MEMS manufacturing market. Their equipment is used for making inertial MEMS systems, display devices, inkjet applications, bio-MEMS, and integrated circuit packaging. David talks about the future of nanotechnology and dismisses fears some people have about nanotechnology.
This is David Fruin from Azo Nano on the floor at COMS 2007. I'm with Dr. David Haynes. He's the Business Services Group Director from Surface Technology Systems. David's agreed to give us a few minutes of his time to talk about what STS does. Thanks, David.
Hi. Well, STS is a supplier of plasma etch and deposition equipment to the MEMS and nanotechnology market and also into the IC packaging environment.
Okay, fantastic. Do you develop your technology in-house?
Yes, we do. We have all our own research and development engineering staff, and all our equipment is manufactured in the United Kingdom, in Newport, South Wales. And we have a worldwide global support network for both sales, application support, and equipment support.
Okay. And the equipment that you produce, do you know what sort of end products are being made using that equipment?
Historically, the equipment has been used predominantly for MEMS manufacturing, whether that be inertial MEMS devices, display devices, inkjet applications, biomEMS, etc. More recently, the same technology that's used for manufacturing those devices is becoming increasingly used in the packaging of integrated circuits. Applications such as CMOS image sensor packaging, 3D applications for stacking of memory devices, whether that be flash or DRAM.
Okay, fantastic. From a personal perspective, what do you find particularly exciting about nanotechnology and what it offers us for the future?
Nanotechnology is obviously a huge area of research and development. I mean, fundamentally, it's a bit like saying that a bus and a bicycle are both forms of transport, but they're incredibly different in their way that they're applied. It has so much scope for the human race; it's incredible. Everything from applications today in IC technology. Of course, the guys making ICs are already fabricating things on the nanoscale. And it's those sort of technologies that are enabling the current generation of microprocessors and memory and image sensors, etc. But in biomEMS, microfluidics, the scope is just immense.
There's been some bad press being given to nanotechnology from certain areas of the media in terms of sort of little scaremongering type campaigns about nanotechnology. Do you think the general public has anything to fear from nanotechnology?
Absolutely not, and I think that the fear that there is purely down to a lack of understanding, and more importantly, a lack of education. And that's part of what some of the organisations involved in this conference are about, is really education and educating people on the benefits of nanotechnology. I think that anything that is on such a scale that it's difficult to understand is often scary for many people. But as I say, with the right education, this has nothing but positive things for the human race.
Fantastic. So for those people that have been unable to attend the COMS 2007 conference, do you have any message that you'd like to send to them about STS?
I think that, STS today is a growing company. We see a strong transition, as I say, from MEMS and nanotechnology into the world of IC as all those technological areas begin to overlap. We're currently today moving from 200mm wafer formats to advanced 300mm wafer formats already used in IC technology. The future of MEMS and nanotechnology is absolutely huge. We see a transition from specialized products such as automotive applications that are well established into consumer products. And really, it's going to become inherent in every single part of everyday life. And STS is proud to be an important part of that.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time today, David.
Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Azo Nano Business News. Solutions Plastic Logics Limited and Nextex Solutions are pleased to announce their plastic electronics leader, Plastics Logic Limited, has placed an order with Nextex Solutions for the FAS Advantage 4 extrusion coater line, a fully automated and integrated coating line that will be incorporated into Plastic Logic's manufacturing line of flexible organic active matrix displays. QuireGen, a leading provider of sample and assay technologies, and BioOne Capital, one of the largest dedicated biomedical investment management companies in Asia, announced that they've entered into a joint venture to establish DX Assays Proprietary Limited. DX Assays expects to be one of the first centres in Singapore for assay development in which molecular diagnostics for infectious and genetic diseases will be developed. The centre is expected to be fully operational by early 2008, employ more than 30 scientists, and be equipped with state-of-the-art technology. SUS Microtech, a leading supplier of precision manufacturing and test equipment for the semiconductor and related markets, has appointed Wilfred Blair to the position of Vice President, Strategic Business Development. Initially, he'll be focusing on further developing SUS's 3D packaging and 3D integration product portfolio. An expert in 3D technology applications, Mr. Blair joins the company after gaining many years' management and business development experience in the semiconductor industry throughout Europe, the US, and Asia. Houston Technology Center, Greater Houston's business accelerator and the largest technology business incubator in Texas, announced today that Linda Toyota was named HTC's Senior Vice President for Development. Serving in this newly created position, Linda Toyota will be responsible for planning, implementing, managing and oversight of all fundraising activities for HTC, working collaboratively with the Board of Directors, Advisory Board and consultants. Verigy, a premier semiconductor test company, and Innovus today announced that they've signed a definitive agreement for Verigy to acquire Innovus. Innovus, privately held, provides innovative solutions for design, debug, failure analysis, and yield acceleration for complex semiconductor devices and processes. Financial details were not discussed. The acquisition is expected to be finalized in 30 to 60 days. Cascade Microtech announced today that Jeff Wild has been named President and Chief Executive Officer of the company by the Board of Directors. Mr. Wild, 51, has most recently been President and Chief Executive Officer of Nikon Precision Incorporated, a wholly owned subsidiary of Nikon Corporation, where he's worked since 2007. Prior to that, he held general management positions of increasing responsibility at Johnson Matthey and Allied Signal. Advanced Research Technologies Incorporated, a Canadian medical device company and a leader in optical molecular imaging products for the healthcare and pharmaceutical industries, is pleased to announce that it's received two orders for the recently released preclinical optical molecular imager, Optics MX2. The units are expected to be shipped before the end of the year. This represents the first optics unit sold by ART under its new commercial strategy. Nanodynamics Incorporated announced that its subsidiary ND Life Sciences received a six-month, $100,000 Phase 1 SBIR contract from the National Institute of Health's National Heart, Lung and Blood Institute. Based in Pittsburgh, ND Life Sciences develops nanomaterials and nano-enabled technologies specifically for applications in biotechnology and medicine. The contract, which took effect this September, will support Nanodynamics' joint efforts with the University of Pittsburgh to address the critical issue of infection associated with ventricular assist devices, and specifically the drivelines of these devices. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 3rd of December 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them here for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening. Yeah.